Craig, I've been looking at this book for the last hours now, and it's just an amazing book. It's called Atlas of World War II, History's Greatest Conflict Revealed Through Rare Wartime Maps and New Cartography. And sometimes just to see sort of these originals and things of the battle plans and the top secret missions is really exciting. And to join us to talk about it is Amy Briggs, Executive Editor of National Geographic History Magazine, and she's here this morning. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm looking through this book. This is fascinating. Sometimes you hear the book creaking. Sorry, that's the book cover on here. I'm looking through this, seeing different maps, and then I opened it up again to read a little bit of the flap, and I realize that I'm staring at here is the map of Omaha Beach.
Yes.
On the ins, you know, just sort of part of on the bound inside one. That is fascinating to look at. This is dated, I think, from April of 1944 and updated as of May 12th, just about a month away from D-Day on that. Talk a little bit about that map, maybe, and just sort of how all of this plays out in this book.
Sure. This map was, it was a top secret map. I believe this is the first time it's been published. And it was carried by Ensign Joseph Vagey, who served as the beachmaster at the seaboard location on the map that says Easy Red. So he was the beachmaster of that section of Omaha Beach. And so he was directing the men and equipment and getting them on the beach. And this was the map that he used. And if you look down in the lower right-hand corner, you can see his signature and also the little notation that says, use this chart during stay on beach. So this was his personal map. And like a lot of other maps in the book, you can see little handwritten notations from these top secret maps that people have kept over the years or that have been in various collections. And our editor, Neil Kagan, went out and hunted all of these down, you know, and put together such a it's just an unprecedented collection of these archival, these artifact maps from World War II.
This is a book that's sort of looking back at it, but I understand National Geographic Society maps were used at the time by FDR and Churchill. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes. National Geographic maps were very much involved in the World War II effort. Actually, World War I was when National Geographic got its start in wartime mapping, that we created a map of the Western Front that the armies were using. It was the most detailed map at the time, and that's how we sort of got into map making. And by the time World War II rolled around, we were the leading map makers in the world, and so they came to us. Yeah.
So you would have National Geographic reporters and people out there, and part of their side job also was sort of to map the country that they were in. Is that, or was it a specific task that was being done? I'm curious.
It was a specific task that was being done. There was a cartography department at the National Geographic Society who was responsible for creating those.
This is great. Looking at some of the things related to defense, evacuations of the West Coast, and they talk about different things in relationship to homeland as well. Any maps in here that really stand out that you thought, wow, this is fascinating, you can't stop looking at?
The Pearl Harbor map. The whole Pearl Harbor section is just fascinating because you have the maps from Japan, from the Japanese side. So you can see how they were envisioning Hawaii, how they envisioned the attack, and then the new National Geographic map that was made for it is so detailed. It shows all the boats, where they were in the harbor, if they were sunk, if they were heavily damaged, what the different targets were. You really get a sense of what this attack was from beginning to end, you know, how it was planned and how it was carried out, all on the same page.
This also not only has maps, but it has the timeline, the stories, pictures as well, to sort of put the maps into perspective. Maps are one thing, but obviously people are what we talk about when we realize about the war. So it really does kind of give a whole different way to look at the history of World War II.
Yeah, there's one spread we have where it's about the pilots in Europe and what they carried if they got shot down behind enemy lines. And they have their secret maps, you know, their escape routes, but they also have these secret compasses that they had to carry. And one of them was so tiny it was hidden in a pipe stem. It was literally like no bigger than like an M&M, and it was hidden in a pipe stem so they could take it out and use the compass and then hide it away because that was, you know, that was their way home. And you just get this like, oh my God, that's what they carried. That's what they lived through. It really gives you a sense of immediacy, and you understand that these were real people. You know, not just names and facts in a history book, but real people going through something very scary and horrific.
When did they start out to want to put this book together? We're at the 75th anniversary of World War II, 100th anniversary of World War I, more recently at the end of that as well. But, I mean, you said you had to look for people that may have had these maps. How was that process? What was that like?
Putting a book together like this takes years. It takes years. Our editor, Neil Kagan, is known for putting together books where he goes out into the world and he goes into everybody's attic and he finds all their cool archival, you know, hidden personal treasures that are related to history, and that's what he did for Atlas of World War II. We also had a partnership with the International Museum of World War II, and they have an amazing collection. So Neil was like a kid in a candy store, you know, getting to go through and just pick all of these artifacts that give you a real sense of place and time and just personality to all of these great stories.
Talking to Amy Briggs this morning, executive editor of National Geographic History Magazine, about this book called Atlas of World War. And there's that creaking cover again, Atlas of World War II.
Yeah, it's a big book.
No, it is. I mean, there's so much to look at as well. Any map mistakes or things that were in there that weren't quite accurate, or things that they thought were there but weren't, that maybe, you know, played a part in how they decided to, you know, to attack or defend?
None that I know of. That would definitely be a question for Greg Ujanski, our cartographer. He's the one that went in deep on all the maps to, you know, create more than 100 of them. So I'm certain that those stories are in there.
Looking back at that time, given spies and espionage and double agents, were there any fake maps?
Yes, there was a fake mission, might be what to call it. So there's Operation Overlord, which is D-Day, but there was another operation called Operation Bodyguard that was fake. And the Allies were faking a landing, I think, in the northern part of France to try to keep the Germans occupied up there rather than having their full force along the coast where Normandy is. And so they basically had a fictitious invasion force called the 1st U.S. Army Group. They pretended that it had 50 divisions and they were going to cross the Strait of Dover. They put together they look like kind of scarecrows. They're dummies that they would attach to parachutes and have them come out of planes, so it looked like they were landing men when they were just landing scarecrows. So there was this big sort of feint to kind of keep the Germans occupied somewhere else while they were getting ready for the real landing at Normandy.
Wow, this is amazing. Again, the book is called Atlas of World War II. Our guest this morning has been Amy Briggs. People can pick this up now and take a look at it. For those who still remember a lot about World War II, those who want to know more about it, this is a fascinating book from National Geographic. Amy, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for the book.
Oh, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Thanks. Amy Briggs, executive editor of National Geographic History Magazine. This book.